Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Thank God for the Bible. God's holy word. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Let's read that verse together. How about it? Read it, begin. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Do a work that only you can do. And help us to cooperate with you. If somebody's in the building, and I certainly don't want to presume otherwise, that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that today will be the day of that person's salvation, and that no one would put it off, for tomorrow is not promised. Now bind the devil, keep him out of here, and if he's going to stay, help him to realize he can't mess anything up unless we let him. So I pray that we'll refuse to let him run what God should be in charge of, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Whenever I approach the book of Hebrews by way of a message, I feel it necessary to explain at least the background and context of this passage in Scripture, in particular, those to whom the writer was addressing. There's been some doubt as to who the human writer of the book of Hebrews was. Some think Paul, others think Apollos. There have been some others who think it might have been someone else. It really doesn't matter exactly whom the human instrument was, because all scriptures give by inspiration of God. So ultimately, Hebrews was written by God. God used somebody to write it, but ultimately, it came from the heart of God. Those to whom the writer was addressing were primarily of Jewish background. These were Jews who had grown up, who had been culturally accustomed to the religion of Judaism, which taught you were saved by a combination of grace and good works. They were hung up on traditions given to rituals. They were built upon shadows. And they thought that all that they needed to get to God was wrapped up in temple ordinances and religious traditions, until one day they heard the gospel. How many of you remember the first day you heard the gospel? Wasn't that a good day? Even if you didn't get saved, aren't you glad you heard the good news? And it's very simple. Paul tells us that the gospel is the good news that Jesus died, he was buried, and that he rose again. By the way, that is good news. If you're black, if you're white, if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're educated, if you're uneducated, if you're from America or you're from another country, if you got a lot of money, you got no money, got good credit, got bad credit, never committed a crime, got a bad criminal record, I'm glad, doesn't matter who you are, the gospel is good news. I'm glad he died, I'm glad he was buried, but I'm glad he rose again. They heard it, they responded. There were different responses. Some got saved. Others made professions, joined local assemblies, but never really got saved. And some just outright rejected the gospel. By the way, those same three things are happening in the world today. When Paul picks up his pen and writes the letter of Hebrews, if it was Paul, which I believe, he is simply challenging those who genuinely got saved. If you genuinely receive Christ as your Savior, say amen. That's the best day in my life when I got saved. The next best day in my life was when I married her. But it wouldn't have been good when I married her if I hadn't gotten saved. Come on now. I'm glad I got saved. And Paul says to those who had gotten saved, in so many words, he takes this book and writes to them and says, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, when you responded to the good news of the gospel, when you decided to repent of your sin, when you were washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, when you were born again, not a corruptible seed, but by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever, when you became a member of the wonderful family of God. Listen now, Hebrews, I don't care what tradition tells you. I don't care what your family members tell you. I don't care what the skeptics and the critics will tell you. When you got saved, you made the right choice. I'd like to tell you today, there have been a lot of bad decisions we've all made in our lives. If we could go back and change them, we would, and we can. But aren't you glad if you're saved by the grace of God that the day you said yes to Jesus, the day you embraced the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day the Holy Ghost of God regenerated you and took a residence inside your heart, aren't you glad that you're reminded from the word of God that when you got saved, you made the right choice? Now all of us ought to pause today and thank God that out of all of the plethora of decisions that we've made that have been mistakes, mishaps, and misstandings, aren't you glad that when we got saved, we made the right choice? I'd like to say, fresh back in town, I'm glad that I'm saved. But their families weren't. Their lifetime friends weren't. And their foes weren't. And their wonderful, glorious decision to accept Christ was met with intense persecution. Now, some of you are thinking, it's a hard thing to be saved in 2019. Not nearly as hard as it was for them. Their families disowned them. You couldn't come back to the house anymore. You leave Judaism and you accept Christ, you're not welcome here. When we get together for holidays, don't show up. You're no longer in our family. You're not my friend anymore because you broke tradition and embraced this poor Jewish carpenter's son, Jesus. And we're Jews, and we're still looking for the Messiah. And you embrace that imposter. Don't call me anymore. Don't expect to hang out with me anymore. I'm not your friend. And you thought you had enemies before you got saved. Come on. You still got them. You just got more now. And now we're going to hound you. Because you've embraced this small group of people. Remember, it only started with 12. And it had grown now. It had grown at Pentecost. It had grown. The New Testament church was on the move, but it was still a vast minority in modern in civilization and culture at that time. So all of a sudden, their families, get out of here. Their friends, don't talk to us. And their foes are on their back. You can imagine the enormous amount of pressure and burden that rested on the shoulders of these who had embraced Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, with all of those pressures and persecution, there was a temptation on these genuinely converted Jews to turn back. The devil was tempting them. Go on back to the temple. You can get your family back. Don't be so intent on Christ. You'll have a whole lot more friends. And if you tone down that Christianity, you wouldn't have so many enemies. They were kind of looking. They were kind of contemplating. They were fooling around with the notion of regret. They were slowing down. They were becoming stagnant. They were a little bit worried about their status as Christians in a culture that didn't embrace them. So Paul is writing to them in this letter. This writer is saying to them, folks, don't you turn back. Don't you slow down. Don't you go back to where you used to be. Don't you let people around you get you to doubt your salvation or to doubt making the right choice. Don't second guess the decision to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back one chapter, chapter number 10, and let me, if I could, build up to chapter number 11 as Paul, I keep saying Paul because I believe it was Paul, as the writer of Hebrews was challenging these precious saints of God. In verse number 22, let us draw near. In other words, Christianity is not about moving backwards. It's about drawing forward. Come on now, let us draw near. Our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience. Our bodies washed with pure water. Look at 23. Hold fast your profession. How many know that biblically once you get saved, you cannot lose your salvation? But if you're not careful, you'll start doubting your assurance. So Paul says, since you are saved and always will be saved, hold fast. Don't doubt it. Keep believing. Press on forward. Why? Because God is faithful. That promise. Verse number 4. Provoke one another to love and good works. Aren't you glad that we as Christians can motivate each other to do right instead of going out in the world and being motivated to do wrong? How many of you need help sometime doing right? Amen. Provoke one another to love and good works. How can we do that, writer of Hebrews? Well, the simplest way to do that in verse 25 is by coming to church. Come on now, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more and so much the more and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, the closer it gets to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the worse this world is becoming. You don't need a degree in rocket science to know this world is bad and it's getting worse. Now somebody, even sleep, ought to say amen to that. Here's what Paul says. As the day is approaching, as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ, we don't need less church. We don't need less Bible. We don't need less encouragement. We need more church. We need more Bible. We need more motivation. When I come here, I'm not here to see what you got on, to see what you're wearing, to see if you've worn it before, to see if you've outgrown it and shouldn't wear it no more. That's not why I'm here. I'm here because I'm fighting that crazy devil. I'm battling this wicked flesh. I'm living in this crazy world. I need a brother and a sister in Christ when I get in here to encourage me. Keep on pressing on. Keep on moving forward. When we come to church, it ain't just about singing and tithing and looking at each other. It's about encouraging each other to live for God. Amen. And I get encouraged when I come here. Amen. Amen. And Paul is saying, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Look at verse number 26. If we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Remember, three responses to the gospel. Some made a profession but never had a possession. A lot of people say they got saved, never got saved. Some really did get saved, but some rejected salvation. Here's what Paul is saying to those who never got saved. If after you've been exposed to the truth, you sin willfully, which means to be intellectually enlightened to the truth of the gospel, and yet willfully rejecting of the gospel. Here's what he's saying. There remains no more sacrifice for sins. He is not teaching that those that get saved and keep sinning will lose their salvation. He's teaching that those who never got saved and keep sinning by rejecting salvation, if you reject salvation, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. What do you mean? If you don't get saved through the cross, there ain't no other way to get saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God's got a way that you can't go over. God's got a way that you can't go under. God's got a way that you can't go around. You must come in at the door. I'm the doorway of deliverance, he says. I'm the gateway of glory. I'm the roadway of righteousness. I'm the master of the mighty. I'm the leader of the legislators. I'm the overseer of overcomers. I'm the governor of governors. I'm the prince of princes. I'm the king of kings and the Lord. Lord of Lords. Now listen to me now. There are a lot of people out there that teach there are many roads that lead to heaven. Just find you one. I'm telling you, they may be sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. There are a lot of roads that lead a lot of places, but there's only one road that leads to heaven, and that's that heavenly road through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad as a four-year-old boy, I didn't just get on a road and an avenue or a drive. I'm glad I got on the road. I'm going to heaven through Jesus Christ. There's nothing left for you if you reject him. And you thought the punishment was bad under Moses' time. Try it under Jesus' time. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Verse 36, be patient. God's going to reward you. Verse 37, Jesus coming soon. Hang on, he's coming. I said he's coming. Verse 38. Having said all of that, the only way you're going to keep moving forward with all of these burdens is by faith. Could I borrow your pupils for a moment? It's nice to be in a good church with a good choir. This choir can't keep you going. It's nice to be in a good church with decent preaching. This preaching can't keep you going. There are plenty of people sat under good preaching that couldn't keep on going. What do you mean? Judas sat under Jesus' preaching and didn't keep on going. If you don't get no better than his, this preaching will not keep you going. Listen, it's good to have good Christian friends. They won't even keep you going. Come on. It's good to be in a good environment, but even a good environment won't keep. It's good to have good charisma. It's good to have good fortitude inside of you. It's good to have a I won't quit personality, but your personality, your charisma, your background, your chemical makeup will not keep you going. I'm here to tell you there's only one way in a wicked society when a lot of people are going backwards, a lot of people are turning around, a lot of people are throwing the towel in, a lot of people are tapping out. There's only one way to keep your head to the plow and determined like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I shall not be moved. And here it is. The just shall live by faith. I've got to make up my mind that the only way to keep on going for God, I've got to believe God. I got to know I can take his word. I got to know that I can trust him. The arm of flesh will fail me. Men will mess up. Other people will rise and fall, but the God that I serve will never fail. He gets into chapter number 11 and begins to describe what faith does. Many people teach this as a definition of what faith is. It really is a description of what faith does. It's the substance of things hoped for. Come on. Now, it's the stuff that keeps hope alive. Is anybody listening to me? Well, a lot of motivational speakers that tell you the only way to keep hope alive is to find the champion inside of you. Well, what do you do when that champion gets whooped? And how many of you know you can wake up one day a champion and feel like a loser 5 minutes later, and you ain't even got out to bed yet? See, I'm not going to win because the champion inside of me. I'm going to win because that champion that hung on that cross was beaten, bruised, belittled, and brutalized, put down in a borrowed tomb, but up from the grave he arose. He's never going to be a loser. He's never going to let me down. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. It is the unshakable proof. It is the undeniable evidence. It is the substantiation that all the unseen spiritual blessings that God has promised to us, they are certain and they are real. Faith brings the future into the present and makes the invisible seen. Faith assures me that heaven is real. Faith assures me that there really are streets of gold. Faith assures me that he really is building a mansion for me. Faith assures me that he really is coming back in the clouds. Faith assures me that I'm really going to see my loved ones that have died in the Lord. Faith assures me that this body is going to be new, that I'll never have any sickness, no more tears, no more sorrow. jarring, no more tearing over there. Faith is what does it. Faith is, somebody said, I don't believe the Bible because I haven't seen the evidence. Faith is the evidence. I hear people say all the time, I don't believe in that Christianity because you just can't put faith in stuff you've never seen. That's a lie. Every human being alive executes faith every day. They're first-time visitors in this building today. Did you meet the architect before you walked in? Did you walk around and knock on all of the studs? Did you read up on John Barry and Fred Baldwin and discuss all of their credentials since they're the ones that built this building? Or did you trust that somebody that knew what he was doing was going to at least be good enough to get you in this building long enough for the service to happen, however long that is, and for you to leave out of here with your life? You go to the doctor, and after you leave the doctor, you trust a diagnosis off of a machine you can't read. And then he writes down a prescription that you don't even know how the pharmacist can read. Come on. And then you go to the pharmacist you've never met before, and you give them an illegible prescription. And then that pharmacist gives you a bottle of pills that you've never seen before. And then your little can't execute faith self takes them. But after all, nobody executes faith. Come on. You get in a car. Oh, you think you know mechanics, but you weren't there when he built that engine. You take some sticker on the side of some window that says this car has this much in it. It has this many miles on it. And all of the reviews that everybody says, this car drives this well. And then you buy that car. You put your kids and your own livelihood in that car that some man put together. But you can't execute faith. See, the truth of the matter is, the discussion, beloved, is not about whether or not we have faith. The discussion is, whom is the object of our faith? You see, for the nation of Islam, it's Muhammad, it's Allah. For somebody else, it's Confucius, it's Buddha, it's Joseph Smith, it's the sun, it's the moon. Everybody executes faith, but I choose to put my faith in someone who always has been and always will be, who did the creating and has never been the created. I choose to put my faith in not the great I was or the great I will be, but in the great I am. Because if I'm going to go forward, I've got to know that I know that I know that I know he's able. He's able. He's able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. He's able. He's able. Whom is the object of your faith? Now here's what he's teaching. The just shall live by faith. Now a bunch of you today, your family may not have completely disowned you. Some of you, they have. I think about people sitting in this church who walked away from being a Muslim to accept Christ. Come on, they're in here. Put your hand up. There he is. Let me put the caption at the bottom of the screen. These were not paid actors. That's how he grew up. But somebody told him about a man who hung and bled and suffered for his sins. And he said, I never found that hope in Islam. I never found that hope in tenets. I never found that hope in religion. But when he met Jesus, he began to understand what the songwriter said when he said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And I tell you, he's in. I tell you, I bet there's some family members that aren't excited about it. about it. Have some friends that aren't excited about it. Some of you here today, you grew up one way, you were taught one way, you'd learn one thing one way, but one day the gospel that you couldn't stop from penetrating your heart showed you and convinced you that God was real, that Jesus really rose, that the Holy Spirit was really powerful, that the Bible was authentic. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and now years later, you're going through trials and difficulty. You're going through family struggles and financial breakdowns. Some of you are dealing with some physical crisis in your health that the doctors can't figure out and the medicine can't fix. Oh, I wish I could tell you that a good fortune out of a fortune cookie or a stress ball or a round of golf or a session of yoga or a meeting with a shrink would get you through it. I tell you, it may get you through a couple hours or a couple days, but it's going to come back again. I got something that's been working for a long time. It's called good old-fashioned faith, for without it, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. There were names in the obituary column this morning about people that died yesterday, but I'm glad Jehovah's name was not one of them. He's still alive. He still rules. He's still well. You got to trust him. The just shall live by faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, the just shall live by faith. Now, the just is saved people. So if you're saved, turn to your neighbor and say, I shall live by faith. Listen to me. You're going to make it. No. I'm not one of these preachers going to tell you you're going to make it because God gave me a word about you. No. I'm telling you, God, you're going to make it because God gave me his word. I said, you're going to make it. You're going to, but preacher, the doctor said, faith don't have nothing to do with the doctor. It has something to do with the great physician. Amen. Come on, listen, you're not going to make it without faith. Now think about this. This just came to me. I was just thinking about it. In order for a human being, I'm going to get to one point maybe. It's good to be home. In order for a human being to survive, there's some things he needs. How about this? Water, right? Food, breath, and light. Man cannot survive eventually without those four things. He's going to die. You cannot survive without water, food, breath, and light. You know what Jesus said? I'm the living water. You know what he said? I'm the bread of life. You know what he said? In him we live, we breathe, and we have our being. And you know what he said? I am the light of the world. If you can't live without water, you can't live without food, you can't live without breath, and you can't live without light. Guess what? You can't live without Jesus. And you gotta live by faith. Now let me give you a couple things. Because I plan to be back next Sunday. Faith, number one, a divine word. A divine word. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Notice there was an effective reception. God gave them a word. When you're talking about the elders, I'm talking about all of the Old Testament saints that made it. They made it by faith. There was an effective reception. They received the word of God. There was an embraced reality. They realized that it was real, and there was an evidence result. They received a good report. In other words, there were a lot of people that lived through the Old Testament, but the ones that received a good report card from Almighty God received those remarks from God by faith. In other words, if you gonna come out on the other side of your trial with a commendation from Almighty God, you gotta have faith. Are you doubting God today? Are you questioning God today? Faith a divine word. Number two, faith. A definitive world. Faith provides for us the only account of creation. The only way to give an eyewitness account of an event is to have been present. Unfortunately, Darwin and the others were not there to witness it. The only one who can give a substantial, credible account of creation is the only one present. And I hate to bust your bubble, but boom shakalaka-laka, God was the only one there. It is through faith that we believe that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You see, when there was nobody, there was a supreme creator. And that supreme creator was the one who initiated spoken creation. And it is from the supreme creator and the spoken creator and the substantial canon of scripture that we have a sensible comprehension. Look at verse 3. Through faith, next two words, we what? Come on, through faith we what? Look at your Bibles. Through faith we what? Understand. Listen to me. Faith makes the biblical account of creation logical. Listen to me now. It is illogical to embrace evolution. It is illogical to embrace a Big Bang theory other than the fact God said it and bang, it happened. Other than that, it is illogical. How could the tadpole turn into a monkey? Where did the tadpole come from? How did the tadpole come out to water? Where did the water come from? There's only one logical explanation. A supreme being who is eternal had to exist and to speak other things into existence. You know how I know I'm no kin to a monkey and a monkey's no kin to me? I believe it by faith. A divine word, a definitive world. Number three, devoted worship. By faith, Abel. Everybody say, by faith. Abel. Remember him? One of Adam and Eve's sons. His brother's name was Cain. Two boys, same parents. Two different endings. You mean two kids can come from the same mom and daddy and act two different ways? You better believe it. And if you don't believe that, you ain't never had no kids. And even if you never had no kids, you're a child of God. And you ain't like the child of God sitting beside you. But you're both children of God. With a T. By faith. How do I worship? Strong says worship is to make obeisance to God. It is to fall prostrate in the presence of God. Listen, it is to anticipate God like a dog licking the palm of his master. I wonder how many churches have church but never have worship. How many choirs sing but never worship? How many musicians play but never worship? How many skilled, proficient vocalists wow the crowd and never worship the Creator? How do I know if I'm worshiping? It takes faith to worship. I must know that God is. Come on now. I must know that I didn't come in this building just to talk to the big daddy upstairs. I'm worshiping a good, good father. That's who he is. See, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. What does faith invoke in us of a devoted worship? Number one, a sacrificial presentation. Listen to me. Worship cost. Ask Abraham when he offered Isaac and said, I'm going to worship. You know the problem with the average worship service? People want to give just enough to say they gave and say they worship. Can I tell you, have you ever gotten out of church and felt like I gave God my everything? Have you ever gotten off your knees and felt like I gave God my everything? I hope as we perfect holiness in 2019 that we assemble together as the body of Christ at Crossroads Baptist Church, saints of God who have been blood washed, redeemed, heaven bound, Holy Ghost indwelled, that when they show up to worship, they realize it costs something. Sacrificial presentation. Notice the sovereign proclamation. God testified that he was righteous. Can I ask you a question? We see your outfit. God sees your heart. Can he testify that you're righteous? Huh? We see your hand waving. God sees your heart thinking. Can he testify of your worship?
Abel, when you worship me by faith, I will vouch for your righteousness. When I get on the pulpit today and I leave the building, and somebody says, good message, Pastor.
What does God say? Notice, if you would, the sounding perpetuation. The sacrificial presentation, the sovereign proclamation, the sounding perpetuation. Look at verse number four, last phrase. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. You know what God says? When you worship by faith, even after you're gone, your faith will still be talking. He said Abel's dead, but he's still testifying. Listen, we are still learning from Abel, even though he died back in the first few chapters of Genesis. I don't know about you. When I'm gone, I hope that my testimony will still be testifying. Don't you want your grandkids to say, Grandmama loved Jesus? Don't you want your grandsons to say, Granddaddy loved Jesus? I want people 30, 40, 50, 80 years from now to say, my pastor lived by faith. My pastor worshiped by faith. Listen to me. Long after they forget your riffs and your vocal runs and your ability to sustain notes, they will remember your faith. Nobody's talking about Cain's faith. Cain gave what was easy. Abel gave what cost him something. And the Bible says he's dead, but he's still speaking. One more and I'm closing. Everybody say, by faith. Enoch. Faith, a divine word, they obtained a good report. Faith, a definitive world, it got here because of God. Faith, a devoted worship. Abel, God saw his heart that he worshiped God by faith, and God vouched for Enoch. Could I take you to Genesis 5? You got to see it. And this is where we'll close. Now, he's way back in Genesis chapter 5, but somehow he shows up in Hebrews 11. Huh? See, when you walk by faith, even when it looks like you got cut off short, God will make sure that you keep living on. Your testimony will live when your body dies. Verse 22, Genesis 5. Say it with me. And Enoch what? Walk what? Huh. You in Hebrews 11? I hope you held your place. It's not there in Hebrews 11, but it's there in Genesis 5. Enoch did what? Walk with God. Yes. Can you hear me now? Faith, a divine word. Faith, a definitive world. Faith, devoted worship. Faith, daily walk. Pastor, I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to love God. I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to be victorious with God. And yet I try and I fail. I try and I fail. I try and I fail. How do I make sure that every day I get up and walk with God? Simple, by faith. We ain't gonna have church tomorrow, but you ought to walk with God. We ain't have church on Tuesday, but you ought to walk with God. We don't have church on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. But you gotta walk with God outside of the hours between 7 and 8:30. Some of you have been deployed. You get taken from your family, taken from your home country. But that don't mean you can't walk with God. See, you're going to work tomorrow. I know you got a job to do. You got money to make. You got a family to take care of. But are you walking with God? Listen now. Here's the statement. Walk with God. Here's what it literally means. If you're right, taking notes. To stay apace. To stay
in sync.
You ever seen the choir sing? Ever seen the director wave his hand? The sopranos and altos and tenors and the basses. See, it's not right that every soprano think she gonna sing when she wanna sing. And the alto want to start before the other altos and stay long after the other. No. See, if you're going to sing in a section, you have to sing in sync. Because if you're out of sync, it's chaos. Now, I'll tell you what the problem is with us that Enoch didn't have. We're too busy trying to stay in sync with all the wrong people. See, your kids growing up trying to stay in sync with rappers and entertainers. They drop their pants way down below their waist. That's what you do. Because that's what's cool to do. See, but that ain't gonna keep you pure. And that ain't gonna keep you living right. See, you can stay in sync with a rapper and end up in prison. You stay in sync with Christ, you end up with a godly family and a legacy that will outlive some little hip-hop song. Some of you little girls trying to stay in sync with these models and these little prissy things. Mm-hmm. I call them sizzle behinds. Because they really go to smoke behind them.
Yes, sir.
They're out there trying to be cute and out there trying. Ain't nothing wrong with being cute, but there's something wrong with when you're trying harder to be cute than you are to being consecrated.
Yes,
come on now. See, you go out there and try to be cute, you get your man. You go out there and be Christian, you get your good husband. Somebody, I'm trying to land this plane, but I'm feeling like I'm back at home, 5811 Hoffman's Lane, Billy Strossel. I'm trying to tell you that too many people are trying to keep up with all the wrong people. You can't keep up with Beyonce and Britney and Lady Gaga and so. No. You got to walk with God. You got to walk when culture goes this way and paradigms go this way and trends go this way and fads go this way and government goes this way. You got to stay with God. Some of you marriages trying to keep up with celebrities. How did Enoch make it? He walked with God. Here it is. And I'm done. It's a consistent performance. It's a correct pleasure. Look what the Bible says. He pleased God. Now, isn't that a very narrow way to evaluate last week? Did I please God? Does my music please God? Does my attitude please God? Does my social media please God? Does my temper please God? Do my financial expenditures please God? Does my time management please God? Does where I went please God? What I touch please God? What I look at please God? Does my child rearing please? Listen to me. Who are we living to please? The correct pleasure, the consistent performance, the consequential privilege. Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. Listen, he was so in sync with God on earth that God said, you might as well join me in heaven. In sync. Come on, Brother Zev. Come on. You can set your Bible down. We're not going to fight. We're just going to stay in sync. Okay? See, when you serve God, you got a lot of haters.
Yes, sir.
And they're real annoying, especially when they're right.
Amen.
can't stay in sync with me unless his eyes are on me. I'd like to ask you a question. Who were you looking at this week? Did you get through your whole day and you never looked at the person with whom you were to stay in sync?
God's going, I'm over here. You're too busy chasing money. You left me. Well, I'm a pastor. Does that mean I'm in sync? No, it just means I'm preaching. You know what's wrong with a lot of pastors? They are staying in sync with filthy lucre and not in sync with the faithful Lord. And when they get their eyes off of God, they end up chasing women and chasing fame and giving the name of God a black eye. Because they're up there hooping and hollering at the church every Sunday and ain't even in sync with the God they're preaching to them about. Somebody help me preach.
What happens when we stay in sync with God? Sometimes he's moving, isn't he? We're going left foot, right? I'm telling you what. You've been so in sync with God that God was moving so fast in your Christian life, it felt like nothing could go wrong. And then in the middle of all that, God just stopped and stood still for about 18 years. Raise your hand if you feel like you're at a standstill. Come, okay. Raise your hand if you got an honesty problem. Okay. Raise your hand if the pastor talks so fast you don't even know how to answer sometimes. So that's why you don't put your hand up. Did he say save, unsaved, coming to church, join the church, baptized? I have people come up to me after, say, Pastor, I put my hand up saying I was lost. I'm not lost, but you talk so fast, I ain't know when to put my hand up. I really am saved. Don't put me on your unsaved prayer list. Keep me on the list, but keep me in the right category. Kathy Winslow said, Pastor, you tell us to take notes. Then when I start taking notes, you tell us to look up. When I look up, I don't get the notes. When you tell us not, when we look up, we feel like we're paying attention, but we're missing the notes. We don't know what to do. Should we take notes, look up, take notes? I'm sorry. Kathy speaks for all of you, right?
Pastor, how are we going to look up and remember how to spell transubstantiation?
I get texts afterwards, Pastor, what was your third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh point? And I want to say, were you listening? And then I go back and listen to my message, and I can't even take notes on my own self. So I'm sorry. So when God stops, am I tempted to go ahead of him or stay and sing? Removing right foot first, huh? By the way, there's nothing in the world like walking with him. Even when things are going bad, it's better with him in the bad than it is apart from him. And I wish you'd act like you're glad I'm back. Listen to me now. There's nothing like walking with God. And we're walking with him. Yes. Yes. Is that your wife?
Yes, sir.
Look at her and tell her you love her. See there? I left him. He didn't even do anything bad. He told his wife he loves her. Isn't that a good thing? Amen. Listen to me. When what seems to be a good thing causes you to take your eyes off of him, it becomes a bad thing. Because it's only a matter of time where you won't even be able to love her, even though you say it, if you're not in sync with him. I wish somebody, Bert Dunn, said, preach, Pastor. I miss y'all. See, your pastor wants to pastor this church, not in sync with the fundamental brethren, but in sync with God.
Amen.
And there's a lot of stuff that brethren say you ought to do, and some of them are right. But the problem is the guy that was right last month might be wrong next month because he ain't God. But if God was right last month, you can mark it down, he'll be right this month too.
Yes.
I'm trying to stay in sync with him. There's consequential privileges. God pulled Enoch out of nonsense and brought him up to him because he stayed in sync. Maybe some of you are going through a tough time right now. You feel like you ain't going to make it. God will pull you out of it if you'll stay in sync. Thanks, Brother Zell. Next week, I got about 9 more. We're not in a hurry. Daddy, are you in sync with God? Mama, are you in sync with God? Single adult, you in sync with God? Seasoned saint, you in sync with God? Ministry leader, you in sync with God? Well, I'm doing a pretty good job. I'm getting rave reviews from the brethren. They don't sign the report card. He does. How can I walk? I meet Christians that do good for a little while and always go back down. They do good for a little while and always go back down. And listen, they're quick to say, the reason why I messed up is because of my circumstances. You don't do right because of circumstances. You don't do wrong because of circumstances. You keep doing right because of faith. And you can make it. You can make it. But there's only one way. Let's say it together. The just shall live by faith. How are you living? Father, I pray you help us. God, we need help. We're trying. But sometimes it's the fact we're trying and not trusting. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand? I'm saved and I know it. All over the building. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Put your hand down. Pastor, I'm saved, but I'm telling you what, I'm going through some things. And would you pray that God would strengthen my faith? I don't want to tap out. Pray for me, Pastor. Would you raise your hand? Come on, all over the building. God bless you. God bless you. I am praying for you. I pray for you this morning. It's always a faith issue, folks. It's always a faith issue. Put your hand down. Pastor, I'm not 100% sure if I die today that I go to heaven. But I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Thank you, young lady. I see your hand. Thank you over there. God bless you. Anyone else? I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? Anyone else? Baptism out there. Anyone else? I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. Am I missing somebody? God bless you, sir. God bless you. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to hell. I see your hand. I see your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Let's stand together all over the building. Lord, would you bless this invitation time? Move in our midst for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name.